Oh, welcome into a daily editorial here on the KE Report. In this daily editorial, I'm following back up with SSR Mining. SSR is traded on the TSX and on the NASDAQ under the symbol SSRM. I'm chatting with David Weens again. He is the Director of Corporate Finance. I also have Brian Martin on the line, who is the Director of Business Development. After our last couple calls between David and I got a few more questions asking for a little bit more color into the strategy behind the investment that SSR has made into Silvercrest. So Silvercrest is a well-known company with management who has been very successful in Mexico already, building a mine and selling the mine and then starting up another company, and now the share price has continued to run. David, can you first just give us some color into what some of the high-level impressions and the overall strategy behind getting involved with that investment in Silvercrest?
Sure. Thanks, Corey. And I think you actually kind of stole my thunder a bit on the first point there, which is the team. So honestly, that's probably the most important factor in the decision that we made to take the stake that we did at the end of last year. So as you said, this is a team that has a track record of developing an asset and, you know, de-risking it and adding value. So we like the team. That's probably the first point. Second point is the asset itself. I mean, it's got a lot of upside potential. It's a high grade deposit. You know, the total resource is about 623 grams per ton silver equivalent, with a high grade core to it of over 1,000 grams per ton. So, pretty exciting stuff, and it just keeps getting better over time. You know, the company's continues to put out infill drill results and confirming and actually improving, you know, what we knew when we went into it.
So, Brian, now over to you, because I know you were instrumental in getting this deal or this investment underway for SSR. This, again, is just an investment. So SSR now owns just under 10%, 9.9% of the outstanding shares of Silvercrest. What kind of role will the company, SSR, have as Silvercrest continues to explore and de-risk that project?
Yeah, thanks, Corey. I mean, we do think there's a lot of similarities between the Las Chispas project and our CB mine in Saskatchewan. So we think that, you know, we can provide a certain level of technical expertise to assist the Silvercrest team in de-risking the asset. You know, we have extensive experience with sort of high-grade underground narrow vein mining, which will be what they'll be doing at Las Chispas. So, you know, I think we do have certain information rights with respect to our investment and investor protection rights as well, where we will be getting sort of regular updates from the team. And you know, we ultimately want our investment to be successful. And so, you know, we're willing to apply our expertise. And we really, I would say, also view it as a partnership. And, you know, yeah, we're a 10%, just under a 10% shareholder, but we really would like to see the asset developed. And I think that team does a great job in that jurisdiction.
Well, and that's something SSR is very good at doing, and that is running profitable mining projects. Currently, though, the company SSR has projects in development in Mexico, but nothing actually in production. This project that Silvercrest is working on still has some more exploration to do. How do you see that fitting within the pipeline of projects that are or could be in development moving into production?
Yeah, I'll take that one, Corey. So you're right, we do, and I think we've talked about it a couple of times, our Pitarrilla project, which is in Durango State, the neighboring state to where the Silvercrest asset is. There aren't really any synergies between the two. It's not like they're right next to each other. So we're not really viewing, you know, the Silvercrest, you know, progress on that investment as in any way really relating to Pitarrilla. Pitarrilla is sort of a standalone assessment. But, you know, as we've talked before, we'd love to get the Pitarrilla project in Mexico going. The team's still working on looking at options for that. We've got a high-grade underground project in Peru, San Luis, continuing to look at ways to move that forward with the community. But yeah, in terms of kind of synergies or some, you know, in terms of a Mexico strategy, if you will, that we don't really think that way about this investment.
So a lot of people, I think, when looking at a company like SSR, when they are investing in an exploration company, even though it is just a 9.9% stake, a lot of people assume that that is kind of the first step towards either getting into a true partnership or fully acquiring the company. How do you guys balance out these expectations of the market saying, well, you know what, it seems like SSR has this insight into this company, so when will they be buying it out? How do you balance that?
Yeah, I mean, that's a good question, and I would also argue, say, we debate that in some ways internally. You know, it's a relatively early stage project at this point. You know, I think we would like to see it de-risked a little more in terms of, you know, more drilling, you know, more economic studies, more metallurgical test work. You know, I wouldn't say that, you know, we're going to outright take it over at this point. You know, we're going to watch it unfold. We have a front row seat. We clearly like it enough to put, you know, $20 million to work in terms of buying a 10% stake in the company. You know, we will be there, I would say, you know, if things go well. And, you know, at some point, you know, maybe we decide, or if somebody wants it more than us, you know, we're more than happy to sell our shares, you know, to somebody else as well. So we'll continue to assess it over time. And as I say, we have a really just a front row seat to sort of a lot of the really exciting development catalysts over the next 12 to 18 months.
So right now, very much this is an investment, but an investment in a company that has continued to produce some very profitable or very exciting drill results. You mentioned there, Brian, that whole de-risking of the project, going through some of the studies, putting some economics around it, but also what sort of exploration in terms of growing the overall asset does SSR still want to see?
Yeah, I mean, I would say it's tough to quantify that. I mean, you know, the high-grade Area 51 zone, and I think sort of even given the size of the current resource and sort of the upcoming update, you know, you can kind of get a sense that it has probably reached a scale that it's sizable enough to develop at this point. You know, I don't think there's necessarily a target with respect to we need to see this many ounces to consider it as a takeover. I mean, we're really looking for profitable ore bodies. And I think even in the current context, it is probably already ticked that box. And, you know, that's probably why we've, you know, made that strategic investment. You know, obviously, we would like to see more exploration work done and, you know, more ounces discovered and maybe even another Area 51 type zone discovered on that property. I mean, that would be great. And I think that would bode well for our investment. But I don't think that's necessarily a catalyst that's required for us to, you know, take the investment to another level.
Okay, so it doesn't sound like you want necessarily Silvercrest to go out there and just do pure exploration drilling. You really want them to focus on the economics and prove to you guys that this will be a profitable mine. This whole investment also speaks to kind of the trend that we've been seeing in the sector, where larger companies with cash are taking strategic investments in companies, not coming in and taking over the companies or really running the show. They're more putting money with either smart management teams and what look like attractive properties. Can you discuss maybe the potential of SSR doing this with other companies, other projects out there as well?
Yeah, no, that's a good point. I think you make a lot of valid points with respect to the sector and other companies doing this. And, you know, I tend to have some views that it's due to the lack of capital in the broader capital markets for these type of equities. But it's, you know, I think from our perspective, it allows us to really leverage, you know, another management team to, you know, de-risk or move forward an asset. And I think we would echo that, or other companies would echo that as well. You know, you can't have people all over the world advancing projects for you or, you know, conducting exploration activities. You know, you kind of need to place a few bets here and there with good teams and allow, you know, those teams to do what they do best, which is, you know, discover and develop ore bodies. You know, with respect to us doing more investments of these type of nature, you know, I would say we're definitely open to it. We haven't historically done a lot of them. You know, and to give you some context, since we did the Claude transaction in 2016, and we looked at 10 opportunities under CA and really didn't pull the trigger on any of them up until the Silvercrest investment. So, you know, we're relatively disciplined. You know, there's a lot of opportunities there where probably the counterparty would have thought we would have put a proposal forward and we didn't. So, you know, I would say I would not preclude us from doing any more of these type of investments. But we are quite disciplined and you know, we take them very seriously.
Well, and that is the very function of this market and one of the attractive points for SSRs that you do have that cash in the bank so you can make those investments. And quite frankly, you're right too, Brian. The broader markets, they're just not funding a whole lot of exploration plays right now. They're not funding a whole lot of stuff in general in the resource market. So it does need to be these more established companies with cash in the bank actually stepping up. David, let's wrap it up with just a quick comment on the share price moves of SSR. Ever since that one bottom in early September at about 1071 on the TSX, we've seen the stock move up over 70%, trading right now a little bit above $18 a share. It's been a very nice move on the back of still a climbing gold and silver price. What do you have to say about some of the interest that has come into the stock and some of the money that's come into the stock? Because it has been, on a relative basis, outperforming a lot of other precious metals equities, even as they have been moving higher.
Yeah, no, I mean, we're certainly happy to see the tape and those kind of moves that you referenced there. And I think that's really been a story that's taken a while to build. You know, when I joined the company in 2013, it was one mine with about 2 years of mine life left. Today it's three with an average of about 10 just on reserves. And, you know, it's taken a while for that story to build the story and then to communicate it and get the momentum going. We're finally seeing the results of that. I mean, we're going to the BMO conference here in a couple of weeks' time, and we've got a full schedule with list of investors that we may not necessarily have had in our schedule a couple of years ago. So, you know, part of it is building that story of that balanced portfolio with a good internal growth pipeline. And it's the consistency, as we've talked about before. So we just put out a release a couple of weeks ago on production, confirming that we've met guidance 7 years in a row. So 7 years in a row, and we're putting out the cash cost results in a couple of weeks' time as well. But it doesn't happen overnight. You've got to, especially in this sector where investors have been burned time after time, you have to show some consistency. But kind of once you do that, you obviously got to keep it going once you demonstrate that you've done it. And that's exactly what we're doing. We're seeing the share price. Obviously, the gold price running is helping as well.
It does. I agree with that. But do you also see an opportunity within this overall metals sector in terms of the stocks with these business combinations or mergers that have been happening at the top of the pyramid with these majors? SSR isn't quite in that level of company in terms of market cap, but now with less majors up there and them needing to sort through a lot of their internal operations, that some of the mid-tiers or companies like SSR have an opportunity here to make some more investments, take some more risks, maybe in the sense to build their company into one of the majors.
Yeah, no, I mean, we'd like to think we're on the way, but you know, as you reference, coming out of the two mega mergers in the gold sector over the last few months, you know, we keep getting told that you know, there will be assets for sale. The you know, Newmont, etc., have been clear that they'll be doing some divestitures over the next couple of years. That does present an opportunity for us potentially as that comes to fruition, because again, we're one of the few guys with cash out there. We'll just have to see how it all plays out. You know, we continue to look. We're disciplined about the way we look, like Brian mentioned. And we've now done five acquisitions over the last 5 years or so, and they've all been accretive to shareholders. So we've demonstrated to our shareholders that we can add value through the M&A process.
All right, David, Brian, I do appreciate this update and giving a little more color into not just this investment into Silvercrest, but also the overall strategy of a company like SSR that has cash in the bank and making money through their operations, where they could take advantage of this sector that still has limited money flowing into it. If anybody has any more questions for David or Brian over at SSR, please be sure to email me, fleck@kereport.com, and I will happily pass along those questions. Guys, thanks again for your time today.
Thanks, Corey.
Thanks, Corey.